Hello and welcome to another episode of The Messed Up Gardener. My name is Esther Aiken. I'm your host for today and I'm absolutely buzzed to be here. So here in New Zealand, we are just starting to notice the cooling temperatures heading into autumn, which is fantastic for the orchard. The kiwifruit are really loving the cooler single-digit nights, forcing the fruit to start the ripening process. The pack houses are starting to test for readiness to pick the fruit. Thankfully, my partner's orchard is looking like it might make early start for the green. The gold and red kiwi fruit have already been picked for a few weeks now and will continue to be picked until they're all done. The green is always the last to be harvested, so it is very, very much an exciting time for us at the moment. It is really incredible to see how much processes and effort goes into growing something that my roading teams treat as a plant pest with herbicides. In the wild, the kiwifruit, if left, can take over large areas and completely smother the native bush. The birds eat the fruit and distributes the seed. Basically, even though you need both a male and female plants to pollinate for fruit set, with the industry being so dominant here in the Bay of Plenty, there are loads of male plants at the ready with, you know, basically when beekeepers like ourselves bringing in a ton of hives every flowering season for the orchardists to force the bees to pollinate their future crop. Pollination in the wild is not going to ever be in decline, especially with the industry that we've got. As you can tell, life is extremely hectic right now with the normal day-to-day with work and kids, not to mention playing squash to try and keep fit. Believe it or not, squash memberships for the whole family per year are actually cheaper than a single person's gym membership. So that is why we are playing something as active as squash. It's not quite gardening, but at least it'll get me gardening fit. But I digress. My hubby-to-be is also getting an incubation and grow room ready for me so we can start growing our gourmet mushrooms again. I used to always have a batch or two on the go, but life got in the way and I'm actually really excited to be growing them again, and this time in an actual dedicated area rather than scattered around the home wherever I could get some space. While all this is going on, the garden is ticking away doing its thing. I'm on the last harvest of the blueberries. The bok choy is doing its thing and the perpetual spinach is basically as fresh as it can be. I've got a whole heap of new perpetual spinach re-sprouting, which is super exciting. I have found a few armyworms again, which is a bit of a worry, but all in all, the garden mostly does its own thing and it's still productive. This is by design and not just a fluke. As you know, I grow using the successional growing method, but also actively encourage passive gardening. So passive gardening, also known as low maintenance gardening, is a method of gardening that focuses on creating a sustainable and self-sufficient ecosystem within your garden. The key principle of passive gardening is to work with nature rather than against it. So you're allowing plants to thrive with minimal intervention. This approach involves selecting native or well-adapted plants that require little to no watering, fertilizing, or pruning once established by choosing the right plants for your climate and soil conditions. You can reduce the need for consistent maintenance, making your garden more eco-friendly and cost-effective in the long run. Passive gardening also often incorporates techniques such as mulch and companion planting and water conservation strategies to further minimize the need for human intervention. So I'll talk a little bit about that later. Okay, so what exactly is passive gardening? So passive gardening, also known as low maintenance gardening, involves creating a garden that requires minimal intervention and upkeep. This approach focuses on using natural processes and elements to sustain plant life, such as relying on rainwater rather than manual watering or encouraging beneficial insects for pest control. Just so we're on the same page, passive gardening doesn't mean you're being lazy and letting the garden do its own thing. It does require a bit of effort and attention to detail. To answer the question, how can I design a passive garden? Designing a passive garden involves selecting plants that are well suited to the local climate and soil conditions, grouping them based on their water and sunlight needs, and incorporating elements like mulch in the compost to improve the soil health and retain moisture. By creating a well-planned layout, you can reduce the need for frequent watering, weeding, and other labour-intensive tasks. I'm not going to lie to you. Again, it pays to spend the time and plan your gardens. Grab a piece of paper and start drawing your garden. Even write a list of your gardening objectives to get the most out of your garden. While we're at it, let's look at what are the benefits of passive gardening. Now, passive gardening offers numerous benefits, including conservation of water resources, reduced reliance on synthetic fertilizers and pesticides. You're improving the soil fertility and the biodiversity, and obviously that lower maintenance requirement. By working with nature rather than against it, passive gardening can create a more sustainable and resilient garden ecosystem. I love that my garden is now at a stage where it kind of manages itself. I've had to add very little fertilizers or even treat with pesticides over the last few years. And with that in mind, the lack of pesticide use is fabulous when actively trying to promote wildlife into the garden, which leads nicely into the next question of how can I attract beneficial wildlife to my passive garden? So to attract beneficial wildlife to your passive garden, consider planting native species that provide food, habitat for birds, butterflies, bees, and other pollinators. Creating diverse plantings, incorporating water sources like bird baths or ponds, and avoiding the use of chemical pesticides can help obviously support a thriving ecosystem within your garden. Again, get to know your local native flora and plant accordingly. As mentioned, this also encourages the local fauna into your environment. I love my swan plants. Although not a native, they do readily reseed and bring the butterflies into the garden. If you are new to passive gardening, here are some tips for successful passive gardening. So include it, selecting obviously the drought-tolerant plants, use organic mulches to retain moisture and suppress weeds, avoiding excess fertilization to prevent nutrient runoff, and embracing a more hands-off approach to allow the natural processes to flourish. So by observing and learning from your garden's ecosystem, you can fine-tune your passive gardening techniques for long-term success. My first ever episode was all about working with the layers in your garden, so check it out if you haven't already. I know it was definitely one of my first ones, so the quality isn't that great, but the points in there are still pertinent. Okay, so passive gardening, also known as low maintenance gardening, offers special benefits and considerations to keep in mind. So let's have a look at the pros, right? The first pro is that it is cost effective. Passive gardening typically requires less water usage, obviously less fertilizer, and obviously your time that you're putting into maintenance compared to traditional gardening methods, and can save you money in the long run. And I'm all about saving some coin these days. It's not easy out there. Everything is getting more and more expensive. And if I could, my garden is one area I would spend a ton of cash in. The next pro I'd like to raise is it's eco-friendly. By using natural processes and reducing the need for chemicals, passive gardening can help promote healthier environments and support that biodiversity I've been talking about. I'm a massive fan of conservation preservation, and this form of gardening is perfect for letting nature manage its own growth habits. The next pro I'm, again, a real big fan of, and that's time saving. With minimal intervention needed, passive gardening allows you to spend less time on maintenance tasks, making it ideal for busy individuals or those with limited mobility. This past year, this style of gardening has suited me to a T, mostly because of the lack of time element, but also the amount of injuries I've had. The next pro has to be that passive gardening is sustainable. By working in harmony with nature and focusing on conservation, passive gardening helps preserve resources and reduce waste. I found on a number of occasions that my harvesting volume has even increased because I'm not actively manipulating the garden growth. Plants mostly do their own thing, which leads into the next pro, where passive gardening often results in healthier plants. By creating a more natural and balanced ecosystem, passive gardening can lead to stronger, more resilient plants that are less susceptible to pests and diseases. Now let's consider some costs associated with passive gardening. The initial setup. So while passive gardening can be cost effective in the long term, there may be some initial expenses involved in setting up things like rainwater harvesting systems or creating a diverse plant ecosystem. Nothing is 100% free these days, and to achieve anything in life, you have to basically expend some energy. The gardens, no matter what style you choose, to follow will always have some costs involved. The next cost is the learning curve. It may take some time to understand the principles of passive gardening and how to effectively implement them in your own garden, which could require some research and experimentation. But as your experience grows, your efforts to learn new things may decline, giving you more time for other activities. Then there is the cost of limited control. Since passive gardening relies on natural processes, you may have less control over factors like plant growth rates or pest management compared to more intensive gardening methods. This isn't necessarily a bad thing unless you're like my partner, where he has to have control in all things. I, on the other hand, thrive in chaos. Depending on your situation, a cost could be that there is a potential for slower results. While passive gardening can lead to healthy plants over time, the initial growth may be slower compared to using synthetic fertilizers or other conventional gardening techniques. There is no harm unless you're choosing to go 100% organic and giving the gardens a good dose of Nitrofusca Blue every now and again. This does require some monitoring and adjustment. Despite being low maintenance, passive gardening still requires some level of monitoring to ensure that your garden remains healthy and balanced, which may involve occasional adjustments to your approach. Ultimately, you have to decide for yourself what level of costs you're prepared to pay, no matter what style of gardening you choose. Now, as we've talked about, passive gardening is a method of gardening that focuses on minimal intervention and sustainable practices. Let's have a look at five secrets about passive gardening that many people may not be aware of. The first real secret is it can absolutely make your garden a massive success is companion planting, which plays a crucial role in passive gardening. Certain plants can benefit each other when grown together, such as repelling pests or providing nutrients. For example, planting marigolds alongside tomatoes can help deter nematodes and other harmful insects. If companion planting is something that sounds interesting to you, I did an episode many moons ago, episode 11, with companion plants that are rock stars in the garden. The next secret, well, not really if you're a regular listener, is mulching is key in passive gardening. Not only does mulch help retain moisture in the soil and suppress weeds, but it also provides a habitat for beneficial organisms like earthworms. Additionally, as the mulch breaks down, it adds organic matter to the soil, improving its overall health. I absolutely love mulching. There are just so many ways that you can create your own mulch from waste products in the garden. Best of all, if you reuse what's already in your garden, you're saving massive dollars at the same time. The next secret I've touched on a little bit already, but is highly undervalued and underrated and underutilized in the garden, and that is passive gardening encourages biodiversity. By planting a variety of crops and flowers, you can create a balanced ecosystem that supports pollinators, beneficial insects, and other wildlife. This diversity can help naturally control pests and diseases, reducing the need for chemical intervention. This goes hand in hand with companion planting. Even just mastering these two things in your garden, it will absolutely change how you manage your gardens and how productive they are. The next is vital, and that is water conservation. It's a central principle of passive gardening. Techniques such as rainwater harvesting, drip irrigation, using drought-tolerant plants can help minimize water usage in the garden. By optimizing water efficiently, passive gardens can create a more sustainable and environmentally friendly growing space. Water is expensive and paying for it stinks, but if you can maximize your garden's self-maintaining qualities, you're away laughing. Now, the last secret I want to talk about is soil health, which is prioritized in very much in passive gardening. Instead of relying on synthetic fertilizers, passive gardeners focus on building healthy soils through techniques like composting, overcropping, and minimal tilling. Healthy soil is the foundation of a successful garden, providing plants with essential nutrients and supporting a thriving ecosystem underground. In a number of situations, gardeners seem to love turning the soil over. Every time you do this, you disturb the soil and often encourage the next lot of weed seeds to germinate. For this reason alone, I'm a big fan of using a Dutch hoe that only skims just under the surface of the soil and cuts the roots off the weeds, but does not fully turn the soil over and promote that weed seed germination. I do apologize, this is going to be a wee bit of a short episode, but I hope there was something of interest in this episode to you. If you have any gardening questions, please do reach out. I'm going to keep compiling a list, and every now and again I'll do an episode on a bunch of combined questions. Every week I do mention this, and don't be shy. Let me know if you're needing some private coaching, no matter what level, from beginner to experienced. Reach out and let's have a chat. I have a few one-on-one gardening mentoring spots available. Sometimes it really is easier to accomplish a task or a project having a gardening mentor and quietly holding you accountable to whatever tasks you set. Flick me a DM or email me and let's check to see how we can work together. My contact details, as always, are in the show notes. Don't forget to email me or DM me for any one of my gardening freebies. And as always, I say gardening can happen in any space and in any place and on any budget. Have an incredibly abundant week and I will buzz you later. Bye. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I would love to hear about your gardening adventures. Flick me a DM on Instagram at TheMessedUpGardener or send me an email and let's connect. Don't forget to check out my gardening reels on TikTok. If you are looking for some help planning your next garden project or just need some one-on-one private coaching, reach out and let's get growing. If you have a garden-related business or you're looking at starting a gardening business, including arboriculture, land clearing, firewood, or a general plant growing and selling business, let's work together in my one-on-one private business development coaching container. Having helped my clients grow several six-figure plus businesses, including from startup to working on million-dollar open space management contracts for many years now. Let me help you and let's grow your business so you can leapfrog your profits and establish a viable and sustainable business. If you're looking for a business podcast, check out my The Let's Biz You Up podcast, available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If this episode was at all helpful, please share with others and let's get growing in any space, in any place, and on any budget. Till next time, happy gardening and buzz you later.